Hello and welcome to another CG Garage episode number 14, brought to you by Chaos Group. This episode is Trojan Horse Was a Unicorn. Gina, what's Trojan Horse Was a Unicorn?
Trojan Horse Was a Unicorn is an outstanding artist-focused event in Portugal, and it's held in September, and it's a TED meets Burning Man type of an event.
Right, that's what Scott Ross describes it as,
yes.
Right? Yeah, and it's actually a pretty good description of it.
Absolutely.
We didn't really get it. We attended last year. We just wanted to see what was going on, and we just absolutely fell in love with the event. And this year we're sponsoring it because we just think it's something that's really, like you said, artist focused, right? Mm-hmm. And so we happen to have Andre Louis, who is the founder of Trojan Horse, and he's also been involved in the industry as far as education, and he's just general passion for CG and artistry. And his partner in crime, who is Scott Ross. And if you guys don't know who Scott Ross is, he is one of the he's one of the founders of Digital Domain. He actually was heading up ILM way back in the day, but he's been involved in the industry for years and years, and has a passion for this. And he has an absolute passion for this specific event because of the way it works. So you guys should check it out, listen to what it is. And at the end of the podcast, we have a bonus section with Gina and Andre talking about the golden ticket and an opportunity to attend the event. So listen to that and make sure and check it out. All right, thanks, guys.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passe. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fresnel.
You two connected and sort of made this happen. This is the second time you guys have done this. You're doing it the third time now, but
yeah, that's right.
Second time together, yeah.
Yeah.
Email was a funny story. I sent an email to a guy that was working.
Mark Kurtz,
yeah. And the guy told me,
I actually feel badly about that.
Yeah. It was a strange situation, to be honest. Like at that time, we wanted to have promotion for Trojan Horse, and we are trying to bring to Trojan Horse the people that. People or association that are involved at the visual effects and visual effects. What's the name of your visual effects? Not Visual Effects Society. What's the name of your association?
Well, it was ADAPT. It's no longer. ADAPT is gone.
Yeah, but what?
Can
what
I move
was
this back just a little bit?
Yeah,
sure. What was
like
the
it's
name?
It's invading my personal space.
There you go.
What was the name of the association you were?
ADAPT.
It was not ADAPT. Was Visual Effects, not Visual Effects Society, was
there
Soldier.
Was a guy, oh, that was not a, that was just a blog run by a fellow by the name of Daniel Lay.
Oh, VFX Soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't an association.
No, but or the name that you create.
It was Stagecoach. No, sorry.
Well, I sent an email to this place, and yeah. A guy named Mark Kurtz replied. And they told me, well, if you really, if I will go, you need to bring the guy, Scott Ross. At
right.
that moment, I didn't know who exactly Scott Ross, and say, okay, I can bring Scott Ross. Give me the email. And I start talking with Scott directly.
And this was for the first THU,
yeah,
right?
First yeah. THU. We were 40 emails. We reply each other 40 emails.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, accept our conditions.
Right.
It was a really strange conversation sometimes because Scott at some point say, hey man, I'm too old. I'm a grandson. I go there, I make a speech and that's it. I remember to read this. Okay. Okay. We'll be like this. And when Scott arrives, everything changed. Was really love at first sight. Mm-hmm. I can say. And since that time we start working together, and that's the story.
Well, what was your intention when you started THU? Like, what did you think of it? Did you think that when you started the first THU, did that sort of make THU happen the way it was, or did you always envision it to be the way it is?
I wanted to create something different. I went to several events, and you can't find. I didn't find find an event where you have really connections and friendship. Even now at GDC, you go there, you talk with 3-4 people, and it's always about business. It's all about business.
Right.
But to be honest, at you, I had lucky. The speakers were amazing, and the environment that the magic that happened at the first year I had lucky, to be honest.
So you think it? I mean, it seems to me it was a natural thing, like the energy.
It was completely natural.
Yeah. It's amazing because it's not a design thing. I think it was just you put the setting in the right place. You make it the right size. You get the right kind of people, and you set the right type of setting. And
was strange. First year we only had 120 attendees. So only 120 attendees. Only few guys believed in the project. So it was really cool in one way. Was bad in another way.
But so it was experimental. You think very much.
We used to only. Because we only were 120, the environment was magic.
Right.
Really intimate. And so our main question for the second year, how will make this happen again? Because that second year, we had 400 people.
Right.
So we spent 1 year thinking about how can we reply the same environment of the first year to the second year.
Right.
And actually, we are doing the same thing in this third year because we are now sold out, 500 attendees.
Right.
So we are.
You can't get any bigger than that in that place.
No, we don't. We don't want.
Right.
That's the thing.
And Scott, when you came on board, obviously you said you had this love at first sight of that whole scenario, like the environment, the artistry. And how did you suddenly say, you know, I just have to get involved in this, or what happened?
I'm a schemer.
Okay. Yeah.
So. What happened was I was given a Lifetime Achievement Award at a group called Mundos Digitales.
I know.
Out of A Corona, Spain, the year before.
I've been to that.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
And there was a fellow there named Peter Plantek.
I know Peter very well, yeah.
And I couldn't quite figure out what Peter did or what his background was or why he was so integral to Mundos Digitales. But it seemed like the Spanish guys were looking to him as sort of the grandfather who would sort of help them, I guess, bring in speakers or bring them some sort of a global reach.
Right.
Though I'd never known Peter. I didn't know who he was. I still to this day don't really know what he does.
Okay.
Right. I'm not sure of his resume. But when I got there, it was obvious to me that he was sort of the ambassador for the group and that the entire group sort of looked to him for strategic help and direction and ideas and concepts.
Right.
And I thought, wow, he's really lucky because he gets to go to Spain once a year. Right. And it's really a fun organization with a lot of great stuff. So then when Andre and I started talking, again, I had no idea that I would play that role. But when I got there, I realized, well, the position that Peter had with Mundos Digitales could be available to me.
Right.
And so I had a conversation with Andre about, you know, if you really want to make this global and you really want to have a bigger reach and you want to have world-class artists, I'm your guy. I have these kinds of relationships. And he was very, very open about it. And then the relationship formed, and the relationship was sort of like mentor-mentee. And I wound up spending a lot of my time and effort with him and the project. And then when the second year rolled around and I was involved in it, I had just, interestingly enough, come off of Burning Man.
Right.
Right. So the concept of TED meets Burning Man and the whole concept of a tribe of people coming together that were of similar ilk with similar desires, and that was very, very powerful, and he was right there with it. So that was really the birth of sort of the mission of what it was that we were trying to do.
Yeah, it's true. The second year we realized that THU is more than an event, it's a tribe, it's a new kind of stuff, it's a new
family.
The new family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Around the world.
It was very interesting to us because when we started at the office a year ago, January, or a little over a year ago, and we were looking at all the different events that are going on around the world, and Chaos Group is famous for attending a lot of events. And I was like, okay, so I know like the big ones, right? You know, like the SIGGRAPHs and the FMXs and stuff like that. And then there was all these other ones, you know, Mundus I knew about, et cetera. And then I said, oh, there is this new one that just came about. It's called Trojan Horse Was a Unicorn. We don't know much about it, but it sounds really interesting. And I was like, okay, that's a strange name. Cool, I like the name. It's all good. It's all good. And so Lon told me, he's like, you should go. I said, well, okay, but what – we're, you know, because we do things at events. He goes, what is it? Just go. Just attend it as yourself. Just buy a ticket and go. It'll be reconnaissance. Figure it out. It's like, okay.
That's a leap of faith.
I know. And I was like, all right, let's do that. It's like, well, first of all, I'm the kind of person that I'll walk up to anyone and talk to them. You know, I just love to just find out anything about people and just get into things. And we figured it was like, well, Gina, you should come too. And we all just like, all right. It's like, you mean go to Portugal, hang out? Yep. Like, let's do it. So we just like went to
Terrible joke. Terrible joke.
I don't know if I want to go. Let me think. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, and so we, you know, it's like, all right, this is going to be a strange little thing. We're looking up and it's like, it's outside of Lisbon. It's, you know, about an hour, hour and a half?
An hour.
Well, depends.
Depends on how you go. But, you know, we figured, you know, it's like, well, we got to get on a ferry. We got to go out to this little area. And it's like, okay, that's cool. And then so we arrived and it's like, wow, we're in a little resort, you know, and then it's beautiful. And then it was just very surreal, you know, compared to any other thing that I've attended, even Mundus, which is really surreal on its own because mm-hmm. you're sitting in this little port town in Spain, which is really interesting. But here it's like, you're in a little resort and there's the only people that are there because it's sort of the end of the beginning of September. Only people there are people like you.
Right.
And so it makes it like you're on this sort of beautiful little area and you're like, huh. And then the thing is, it's the whole day. The whole day. It starts at 10 o'clock and goes till 2 o'clock in the morning.
This year, we'll go to 5 o'clock in the morning.
Was that?
Yeah, 5 o'clock in the morning this year.
This year.
Yeah.
From 8 to 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Never stop.
And there's always something going on. Always, always, always. But it's always with the same kind of group of people all the time. So you just really get to know people. It's like you're on a you know, art retreat, you mm-hmm. know, and it's really just, I knew everyone by the end. It's like, yo, what's up? You know, and it just everyone hanging out all the time. And it was so surreal. And no one, because it's so small in a sense, and you're isolated to those people, you're on a first name basis with everyone. You know, I'm talking to Sid and I'm talking to Victor Hugo and I'm talking to everyone, you know,
right.
And it makes it a very, very different vibe. And I think Gina and I were like, oh, wow, this is cool. And so the first thing in her mind is like, this is the kind of thing that I think is really important. I love the fact that it was so artist driven. SIGGRAPHs has its place. Technical mm-hmm. conferences have their place and they're really great. But I loved the idea that it was all about inspiration, artistic inspiration, and about all of that idea.
That's our main goal and our questions when when you are searching for speakers, the main question is that this guy is inspiring speaker, this guy is there to share, how is his personality? Mm-hmm. It's more important for us that have a big name, but the personality don't fit at Trojan Horse, we don't want him at Trojan Horse.
Right.
But the main spirit of Trojan Horse actually was Scott that gave the spirit, because after the first day, you just sit down. I remember to watch Scott talking to a bunch of kids in front of the auditorium, the main auditorium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was there like a normal guy talking to each other, and the other speakers follow him. So after that, the rules or the main concept of Trojan Horse was created, and now it's the main rule. Like the main rule of Trojan Horse is if you see someone alone, go there, pick up the guy, buy a beer, and talk with them, him.
Yeah, but you always make those opportunities to happen, right? So every time you're inside the conference, there's an espresso machine there. Oh, I could really use a coffee because I've been up since, you know, till 4 o'clock in the morning doing stuff. So then there's that coffee machine there. And so therefore, oh, Scott's there. Oh, cool. Hey, let's grab
a
coffee.
He really curates that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really an interesting thing. He curates the whole process of people getting to meet each other and talk to one another.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no isolation. It's like there have been conversations where we've had with people, like for example, Sid, right? So when we invited Sid and Roger do this a lot, right? And so Sid's response was, okay, I'll come in on the day before my talk, and then I'll do my talk, and then I'll leave. And the response from us was, no, you got to be there for the entire time, because that's what it's about. It's not just your talk. It's not the presentation. It's your presence, not right. presentation. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. I like it. It's this, your presence, not your presentation.
This year, we had two great speakers that they only want to be there for 2 days. Great names. Mm-hmm. And we just say no, because that's not the spirit. We really want people.
Yeah.
More important that the talk, it's being outside talking.
Right.
And sharing in a different way. Because when you are on stage, you say to the guys what you normally says
and right.
But when you are with a beer in your hand, you start talking normally, new things comes up, and that's the magic of Trojan Horse.
I think what's interesting too is if you look at it that way, you know, like sometimes we'll have events that happen of that nature, and they save the bigger talks for the end. It's almost like you want to put the bigger talks in the beginning to inspire people to want to talk to them the whole time they're there, mm-hmm. you know, or in the middle or something, just to get them really excited. And I was talking to Andy Jones for a long time. I mean, I've worked with Andy for years, but it was just so great. I could just see him and hang out with him and do those types of things.
Also, like just the whole concept of the way Andre came up with the whole Trojan Horse warriors, you know, generals, all of that stuff,
right.
is that it really is a tribe. It's a tribe of people. We're all there together. We're all on the island. We're all fighting the same fight, and it's all about art right. and love. And it's great. It works. And so much so that there are get-togethers now. You always know you're successful when, you know, 3 months or 6 months or 9 months after the event, there are people who were at the event who are getting together that would not normally have gotten together, yeah. but they're doing a Trojan Horse was a Unicorn meetup.
Right.
So LA and San Francisco, LA, Francisco, and yeah, Berlin happening.
Berlin will happen the first THU meetup. THU meetups start like the TEDx thing.
Right.
A lot of attendees start to talk with us that I want to bring THU to my city, how it's possible.
They want to actually have an event, not just hanging out with people who were there.
They want to bring THU a spirit. They want to show to the friends or that what is THU, because like everybody, like we are crazy about THU. So the events ends, I go home and start talking about THU all the time. Mm-hmm.
Like Gina.
So it was great for us to see like a lot of attendees, now friends, part of the family, start to talk with us. Let's create something new. And everything started with a London calling thing. And at the end, like was like a THU event, non-official. So a guy named Jack Gilson and Papa Beer, they started talking, we need to do this in Berlin. So the THU meetup Berlin officially started.
269 attendees.
300 now. 300. We have 300
really?
Attendees. That's okay. That's from 10 countries. It's quite crazy. So we now have a THU meetup Berlin happen with 300 attendees. It's amazing. We just confirmed that THU meetup São Paulo, THU meetup in Warsaw.
Yeah. That makes sense. All of those places make sense.
And we have now opportunities for Taiwan, Hamburg, Madrid, Moscow. It's quite crazy to see this coming up in this way.
In 3 years,
yeah. It's really strange, but it's a good vibe.
How long are you going to be able to resist that pressure of having to expand? I think that's the good way to do it, though, is have these little branches that go out and read.
We see this like the new opportunity for the new speakers, the new artists, to be honest. This is the THU meetup. It's the spot for new artists to show their talents, and maybe one day they will go to Trojan Horse, if Trojan Horse will continue for a long time.
Right, right.
We don't know yet.
Hmm.
But I think in terms of expansion, like how you're addressing it this coming year, is that you're still limiting the size of the attendees at Trojan Horse and Troja, but you're offering something new.
Yeah, this year we'll go for a new experience, the THU television. We are going, we open
up. Oh, you're
going
to broadcast.
Not broadcast. We are creating shows like Scott Breakfast with Scott Ross. We are having Louis Tucci will be the host.
Oh, Louis. See, already, like, there's a person that I never met until Trojan Horse, and I got it. The minute you say his name, I just feel a soft spot in my heart.
Yeah, Louis will be awesome. Louis wants to arrive in a boat and say, live from Troy, like, yeah, a crazy way.
Well, I'm just talking about, like, I want to podcast, like, a whole bunch from that area and just do all kinds of stuff there.
And
you know?
We will do. We'll have an amazing team. We are creating an amazing experience 24 hours a day for the 5 days. So we will... Our thing was we went to broadcast, but we always show the magic of Trojan Horse, like live stream. Live streaming will be not the solution.
Mm-mm.
So we spent 7 months, 8 months, figure out the solution. So how can we show the magic for people at home? How can we really give the same experience?
But you guys were able to do things. Okay, I remember very specifically, like you'd have people recording stuff all day long that was going on, right? Of all the people gathering and the camaraderie, etc. And at the end of the day, you already had a video put together of everything that happened that day. I mean, it was like, wow, that was really good.
We will go to a different level this year.
Really? Yeah.
We are going to a whole different level this year. We will have a digital vision, like lives from Trojan Horse. The art battles will be recorded live.
Right.
For example, we have live demos for people at home. Question Q&A sessions for people at home, port for reviews for people at home. We are trying to create a THU experience for people that don't have the money or possibility scheduled to go to Troy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. That's the big project for Trojan RCC. One of the big projects. It will be fun. It's scary at the same time, but that will be fun.
Yeah.
What's the scary part?
In my case, I always want to give the best experience for everyone.
Right.
There is no VIP at Trojan Horse. I want to help everyone. So my scary part is like people are paying for something and they will not receive what they are expecting for. I'm always worried about this. And I don't want that this THU television can be the case.
Yeah.
Or the problem.
Well, nothing you ever do is that way, though. I mean, that was the thing that shocked me the first year that I went. I mean, I didn't know what I was walking into, and there was like branding, and there was opportunity to buy merchandising. There were logos everywhere. There were events that I was being taken. I mean, it was unbelievable. So you don't, by who you are, your success is that you do everything with excellence.
We try.
And it's probably because you worry.
We create this Trojan RCV. It's for ourselves. Like I want to feel, it's our home and needs to be everyone's home. That's why we care about everyone.
Right.
We will have more cars this year to bring people from the airport.
Sure.
We have more food. We have more Red Bull, more coffee, more water. We are managing. We learn from the first 2 years about what is the problems of THU. And how can we bring better things for people there? So this year we start to organize this event one day after me and Scott, we had a lunch just the day after Trojan Horse. We spent 4 hours. We made the briefing for the poster and the movie at that day.
Well, it's good to debrief when you're still fresh in your mind, right? So
yeah, but we realized at that point, okay, 2015 will be really special for everyone, so we need to
amp it up.
Yep. So and even now it's March, we have so many things to do. I'm a little bit worried. I didn't sleep well this night. I was talking with him, like thinking about what the kind of things we need to manage in the next 6 months. They are huge, gigantic, to be honest.
Right.
But I think it'll be fun. People will enjoy it. I'm quite sure.
That's really,
and the lineup.
Yeah,
the lineup.
How much can you tell us of the lineup so far? And I know there's probably more to come, but
we announced 17 names.
17 people.
We have more 30 names to announce. 33 names to announce.
33 total or
33.
Oh right. Okay. Wow. So this is gonna have a lot of speakers.
Yeah, 50. Because we have more people. That's the thing.
There's another day this year too.
We have one more day. If you have more attendees, we need to have more speakers because attendees need to have time to speak with.
Right. So you want the ratio of speakers to attendees to be.
It's more expensive, of course, but we need to have the same vibe and the same quality. And that's. And I don't want to. Even the speakers are there to learn and to share. And I don't want the speakers too tired because they spend all day talking. So we have more speakers so we can, everyone can enjoy better the spirit of Trojan Horse.
Wow.
But we have 33 names to come, and a lot of great names are coming.
Oh, cool.
It will be cool and scary at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's pretty great. What were some of your great memories from the one last year? If you remember any of it.
Well, I don't know. It's the first year was special.
What was special about the first year?
The first time I cried, Trojan Horse, when I saw...
And he's been crying ever since.
Yeah, I'm crying ever since.
I probably cried several times myself.
Yeah, it was when I realized that I made something special was when I saw the showreel of Tiago Oizo.
Uh-huh.
When he showed the showreel, like the music, everything, like I started crying, like, okay, I created something special. And the second special moment was the last day. At some point, I was upstairs in the main room, just checking my email. Ollie Lloyd from Pixar, she canceled her talk. So a bunch of speakers just start talking on the stage. So we have a fireside chat with 12 speakers. And all the speakers just sit on the stage and start, okay, people, make questions. We have a lot of pictures of that special session. I was there like saying, okay, Ollie Lloyd canceled, but everything's going well. And at some point I was talking, I was seeing my phone and people just start clapping.
Right.
And to me. So I received two minutes, 3 minutes of ovations.
Right.
Say people, because of you, Andrea, this happened, and I start crying again for a bunch of people. So right. It was really a shame for like a little kid crying. And these two moments, like, they were really important. And the last moment when Scott made the ending ceremony speech.
Right.
And again, I realized that people were happy and we create something special. That was really, really, really amazing.
Yeah.
Last year, the manifesto was really special.
Mm. Yeah. It was really nice. And one is, I've only met Victor a couple of times and online. And then when I met him for the first time at THU, and he was just, he was such a great guy.
Victor is one of my best friends nowadays.
Yeah.
I'm really lucky to have him.
And he's so humble and so sweet.
And a genius.
And a genius.
And a genius. He made the manifest in only 1 month.
Yeah.
We are making a new special project for Trojan Horse. It's cool. And I'm really lucky to have him on board. Again, yeah. Trojan Horse is amazing in many ways for everyone. In my case, having friends like Scott and Victor Hugo were pretty wild. And the manifesto last year, when we finally showed what is the Trojan Horse, was really special. My mom was there and started crying for school.
It's a lot of crying in Portugal.
Yeah, there's a lot of
crying. It's good. A lot of crying.
Yeah, but those are good tears.
Yeah, it was good. And I don't know, Sid Mead was an amazing talk last time.
Oh, well, he was so funny too, you know?
Yeah, now people talk about it. And I'm sad that the video, we recorded a video about Sid Mead, so we wanted to post everyone, but the quality technical problems happened, and that video specifically.
That's too bad.
We can't share. That's the problem.
I didn't know that.
That's the bad news about Trojan Horse. We go to the next level in terms of quality of capture of the video.
Yeah.
It'll be cool.
It was so, he was so funny about
it. He was amazing.
He
was really, really cool. And last year, we had a lucky again with the speakers. It was pretty fun. Andy Jones was amazing too.
Oh, Andy is so sweet.
Sweet as they come.
And he's just got a guy who is like unbelievably talented and yet so humble at the same time, you know?
Humble is the word that we use at Trojan Horse.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to be humble to be there.
Yeah.
Or if they are not humble.
Well, they have to be Michael Bankston.
They need to be Michael Bankston, yeah. He's a close friend. We love Michael.
Okay. All right.
It's a close friend.
That's a good one. I would think it was really cool. There was a couple of really amazing Pixar speakers as well that were talking about the culture of Pixar.
Andrew Schmidt.
Andrew Schmidt was really great. Too. Yeah, and what's his name? Carlos.
Carlos. Yeah. Uh-huh. Carlos.
He was great.
He's great. I dinner with him like in San Francisco five days ago, and he's really funny.
Yeah. The person that blows me away every year is Yana Sharma.
Oh, really?
It's just, you know.
Well, she's like behind the scenes, like the magician, right?
Unbelievable what this woman does.
She was, we invited Yana. I have a great story about Yana. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of Yana since ever. And I invited Yana for the first year, and she said yes. I invited Matthias, her husband. And Matthias can't come. Yana came alone. Yana is really shy, a really shy girl. Uh-huh. She don't speak to anyone. Or at the beginning. And then, so I didn't know if she was enjoying Trojan Horse or no. So I didn't know at the time. So, but at last day, she started crying in the casino.
Yeah.
Again, not only Portuguese cry in Trojan Horse. Like,
when you can get Germans to cry, you're doing something right.
The German girl cries. Yeah. And we didn't and say, what's happened? What's happening? And she was crying because she was sad to leave and was a... amazing. And so everyone there start, I can say that everyone cry that night, but a lot of people cry, and we hug Yana, and was a really another great moment of Trojan Horse, seeing Yana Schumer crying. And so after the first edition, we bring again Yana Schumer, and now she's part of the family, the big family. She's advisory board nowadays.
Wow. So. Well, that's great, yeah. And I should emphasize to the people listening that it's not just crying that happens in Portugal.
It's true.
But I mean, I think it's a thing that happens, right? Is because you're inspired by everything, and there's a really great stuff, and there's a really lot of great information. You're not just inspirational. There's a lot of great information you're getting from people, whether it is, you know, how something is technically done, which also happens there. It's not, you know, there, or what is it like to work at Pixar? What is the culture of Pixar, and really understanding what that is? That's an important lesson that I've heard that lesson before, but it's always really well told. And I can imagine someone coming from school who's never heard anyone talk about it, just feel like I am getting an inside look of what it would be like to experience
that. Well, that's why I think the concept of TED meets Burning Man.
Yeah.
So Burning Man is sort of the heart and the release of emotions and building a family and feeling connected.
Yep.
And TED is incredible amounts of intellectual and creative information that comes.
Right.
So you get both parts of that at THU.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I haven't seen much crying at TED.
But you do see inspiration.
There is inspiration. Yeah.
We have a lot of alcohol at Trojan Horse. Maybe
that's true. Maybe it's the
alcohol. Yeah. I'm quite sure it helps a lot of
lubricates people. The tear
cranes. Lots of wine, lots of beer.
It's part of the culture. Like, we have wine, wine, beer.
And great fish.
Yeah. I don't think Gina has drank anything else but Portuguese rosé since she left Portugal.
Yeah. Green wine and rosé.
Yeah.
We try to promote the best thing of Portugal.
Yeah. Yep.
The food and the wine. It's part of the THU DNA too.
Like, yeah. Absolutely.
I always want to give to them the attendees and speakers what is the best thing of my country and my city. I born in Setúbal, by the way, that city. Where
across the harbor.
Right. Yeah.
That's why I choose THU to be there. Like.
Right. So what got you into it? So how did you get involved in CG and all of that stuff and make that happen?
Well, when I finished my... Since I remember, I wanted to be an animator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But in Portugal, you don't have schools really teach you how to be.
Yeah, there wasn't much school when I was.
No, yeah, it's true.
You kind of had to do it
so
on your own.
I remember I finished my degree, and I applied to San Francisco School of Arts for animation master.
Oh, okay.
And I was accepted, but I decided to stay in Portugal because I was in love to a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crazy mistake, I know. So my life changed at that point, and I start helping my dad, and I have another, my life turns another direction, but I never forget the CG part.
Mm-hmm.
So 7 years after, when I was 26, 27, I had the opportunity to open the first or one of the pioneer schools in CG in Portugal.
Mm.
And then I spent there as a CEO for 5 years, and that's where I met Serge Biro and José Alves da Silva. They were part of,
right.
They are really the beginning of everything. Actually, Serge wrote it in his blog. the first time you went to Portugal, I told him I went to create an event like this. At that point, I didn't know that we'll call Trojan Horse was a unicorn. And he told me, never, don't do that. We lose a lot of money. Don't do that.
He was right on one
hand. He's right. You always lose money at Trojan Horse, but we don't care.
Okay.
So I got involved when I left school at the project. I wanted to continue what I was doing in Portugal. So I create Trojan Horse. I knew it. That is important. I wanted to be more involved. I want to have more connections. I want to learn more. And the only way to learn is to know people and know. And I'm really lucky, blessed to have a mentor like Scott Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Banks invented too.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was not allowed. Michael was not allowed. But I think it's a quick story. It's normal story, I think.
Well, I don't know if it's so normal. I mean, I sit there and he's like, I'm going to go there. I'm going to create an event that's going to inspire people. Well, a lot of people don't have that kind of guts.
Not only that, but you're also, everybody was telling you not to do it.
That's true. That's true. So even when I choose the name, people surround me told me that don't use that name. And I say, but I need a stupid name. I really need a name like people don't forget, because I didn't, even the concept of the name.
Well, the only thing that even makes any sense is the Troya, the Trojan horse, right? And then after that, it doesn't make any sense. But it's totally I'm going to some event in Portugal. It's called Trojan Horse Was a Unicorn. Trust me, people are going to say, what was that?
Was it crazy brainstorming? I had the help of a great, great copy in Portuguese copy, Claudia. And we spent several weeks searching the name. And at some point, I told her, this is not... I want a really strange name. I want a really crazy name. This is the concept of Trojan Horse. There is nothing compared with Trojan Horse. So I want to have a name that people will not forget. Not a corporate name like FMX, Seagraph, GDC. I wanted something new, different, nonsense. So after that, Unicorns was like, okay, you want a unicorn. And she mixed Trojan Horse and unicorn. And
yep.
Trojan Horse was a unicorn. And now it's THU. It's quite crazy.
Yep.
So that's the story behind the Trojan Horse was a unicorn, and now it's cool. People like it. I loved it since first sight. This is it. I remember she sent me 20 last names, and I just Trojan Horse was a unicorn. Boom, this is it.
That was it. That decided it.
And it gives you a lot to work with in terms of imagery and.
In terms of animation.
Yeah.
It's very iconic. You know, you choose your font, you choose your style, you can choose all kinds of stuff.
It's about part of the. Like you went, Trojan Horse, you went to create an experience. So part of the experience is the old brand. So it's not like the other conference. I don't want to say bad things about the other conference because they exist for a reason. So
and they also have their purpose, right? I mean, we attend a lot of them as well. Siggraph has got a lot of purpose. Like there's a lot of interesting.
And FMX. I really love FMX. We have great friends now at FMX. And even a new conference in Croatia comes, the FCC. The guys are amazing. I will be there to support them. So, the concept of Trojan Horse is like it's a brand thing, a family thing. So when we do something to your family, we really want to make something unique to them, like the present. Sure. So the movies, the manifestos, the welcome package, the wine you choose, everything we selected for a reason. So we spend a lot of time working for the brand. So people really feel that we are doing something for them and it's not like a corporation thing. There is always a message behind Trojan Horse.
Right, right. What were some of your favorite memories from the first THU?
I didn't know what I was walking into.
So you're a little bit like me last year.
Yeah, I had no idea what I was walking into. I thought it would be sort of like Mundus Digitalis, you know, because I felt the flavor, you know, here we are, we're on the western part of Europe, as A Coruña is, that it was a small grouping, a small conference run by younger people. And that was my expectation. And I love Mundus Digitalis. Mm-hmm. It's really fun and the guys are great.
I've been several times.
Yeah, it's great. But I didn't expect it to be as together as Trojan Horse was.
Especially for a first one, right?
Yeah, I mean, I walked in, it was like There were people meeting us at the airport. The cars were there. There were drivers. There were logos on the sides of the cars. There were, you know, it was unbelievable. Everything was perfect. The hotel room was stupendous. Mm-hmm. You know, the location was gorgeous. Everything worked. And it just hit me that this was really, really, really unique. So the first thing was, how together is this guy? That was my first impression. I mean, right. He and his staff, I don't know who they are or where they come from, but whatever it is they're doing, they've got it together.
Well, immediately puts you in a good mood, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. A lot of green wine.
A lot of green wine. We had that first lunch at that little restaurant with those clams.
Yeah, and it was so good experience.
You know, the food, the wine, the location. And then it was the first year, there were a lot of the speakers were pulled together. He forced all of the speakers to be together to do events. So you'd go to a winery, you'd get on a boat, you'd take a car ride up the coast, but everyone was together. So the relationships and friendships that grew mm-hmm. prior to the event starting.
Oh, right.
So it was the day before the event actually started.
Yeah.
The speakers were thrust together. Mm-hmm. And that
all,
was
all the speakers
blew
arrived.
Me away.
Two days earlier, we wanted the speakers to be right. together for this, and
so they're already in a good mood and understand the culture
to talk with because the jet lag. We know the jet lag is mm-hmm. a pain in the ass, so we bring the speakers 2 days earlier so
right.
they can be prepared to be 100% for the attendees. That's something that it's really important for us. And I didn't know at that time that these 2 days will be this friendship thing and we'll create this environment.
Yeah.
Again, we had lucky, to be honest.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I did something similar at a conference in Mexico called Creanimax. I don't know if it still happens, but it was that year, and they did the same thing. They kind of put us together. I ended up hanging out with Bill Plimpton mm-hmm. for like 2 days. It's like that is a surreal experience. I mean, because that is an animator that is interesting, you know. And so when you start to bond with that, and then you can, you know, and he was asking me all kinds of questions about CG because Bill Plimpton is very, right. very analog, right? If you ever have a chance to talk to Bill Plimpton, it is one of the most amazing things because his whole speech, which was not expected, was not about crazy Bill Plimpton. It was about the business of doing independent animation and how do you actually make money doing independent animation. And he is a brilliant, brilliant guy about that because his stuff is just crazy.
And where is he? Is he still in
He's LA? In New York.
Oh, New York.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's just doing it out of, you can, yeah, you should just talk
to him.
The
light bulb just went on.
Yeah.
You can see over our heads.
Yeah. Right? He's a really nice guy. He's great. I remember hanging out with Bill and I was really impressed with him. But anyway, same thing, right? So you're sitting around and, you know, I'm sure there's like Andy and Sid Mead can talk or whoever. And then it becomes this idea of talking to people. It's a great, great feeling. And what about the last year? Because you were way more involved last year, obviously.
Yeah, the last year, I think the thing that stood out the most was making the manifesto for me.
Yeah.
Because I was really involved in it.
That was fun.
Yeah. Did you write the copy to it?
I didn't write the copy to it. I was involved in the concept of it.
Uh-huh.
And then I did the voiceover.
Yeah, the voiceover.
You did the voiceover for sure. I recognize that.
Which was really funny how that happened. It was like, he kept saying, no, I want this and this and this and this. And I'd say, you mean something like this? And he'd say, well, why don't you do it? Nah, I'm not a voiceover guy.
Right.
We went to Patrick Stewart, remember, asked Scott, do you have the number of Patrick Stewart? Are you crazy? Okay, one day I will have something from Patrick Stewart voiceover. But at the end was Scott and was a really funny afternoon.
Yeah.
João Leitão, the guy that wrote the copy, is an amazing talent guy. He helped us.
Sometimes because of Andre's sort of English as a second language, he chooses words that I don't think he really means. But when I hear it, it's like he I'll say things like, so this year we will have J.J. Abrams. It's like, no, this year we will try to get J.J. Abrams. That's what I meant. We will have him, right? And so he says it in a way, it's like, and then I start to feel like, holy crap, I got all this pressure.
Yeah.
God, I better call him already.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Just.
So it's almost like his intention is out there and he says it.
So you're thinking he's using his ESL
that's
as,
correct.
As a means
that's
to get
correct.
Things done.
Yeah, I think it is.
This is not true.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I hope you have J.J. Abrams.
Better.
Well, we will have J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, here you go.
At least we'll try.
That's right.
Very good.
Yeah, we'll try.
It's the funny part of it's choosing the lineup. We spend hours choosing more than 500 names, kind, and you need to choose 50 names.
Worth. Well, I remember what was interesting. It was like, again, it's testament to that kind of event where everyone is there attending. And a normal event, you know, people just sit in the background, don't do anything. And then you just go up there and say, all right, well, give me some names, some ideas for next year. And you just shout, and then people are just shouting out names of people they want to hear about. And that's like, okay, you know, like, I know. And then you get a couple of bold people, and then all of a sudden everyone gets the nerve. Right.
Yeah. It's like sitting at a dinner table with your family.
Yeah,
except there's 500 of them.
That's 500 of them. And they all speak different languages.
Right. We asked the tribe the names they wanted, and we tried to bring almost all of them.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If you go to the Facebook groups, we talk with the tribe in the Facebook groups, and we ask them, and we try to do what they want, because the thing is for everyone. If the tribe wants, we try to have for the tribe. Yeah. That's the cool stuff.
We need to think more about music.
Music, yeah. This year,
well, music. You know, I'm gonna tell you one of my favorite parts of last year, the one that brought tears to my eyes, and this is coming from someone who's been an artist, and I've seen a lot of people try different things, and I've been crushed by problems in the industry, as you're aware of, and that's why, you know, Adapt happened and all that other stuff, but. There was a person in the audience then was doing your fireside chat, and someone in the audience, this girl, when she was extremely shy and terrified, but took about as much guts as she could do to express her fear and ask her your opinion. Mm-hmm. And her fear was that I have studied animation all of my life. I love it. I love it. I love it. I am now trying to get to be an animator, and you. Referring to you,
right.
You keep referring to your love of music and how you want to do this music, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And you never became a musician.
Right.
And I have a fear that I will never be able to do animation. If I don't do animation, I think it's going to be the worst thing possible. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, oh, geez, boy, good luck, Scott, with that one, right? Mm-hmm. And you just looked right back at her, and it was the thing where you said, oh, this is very easy for you to solve. And you're like, no problem. And he's like, if you don't become an animator, you can still work in animation. You can become a producer. You can do this. You can do script. You can write your stories. And you basically rattled off about like 10 different jobs that she could do in animation, even if she's not an animator.
Right.
And then you said, worst case scenario, you can watch a lot of animation.
Yeah, because I still listen to a lot of music.
That's what he says. I listen to a lot of music.
That's right.
And you still enjoy listening to music. Right. So there's no reason why you can't do that.
That's right.
And I remember that. I was like, wow, that was a good one. That was a real good one.
Thanks.
I was very inspirational to me, because I think that's the kind of thing that people need to hear too, you know. It's just being inspired and loving things doesn't mean that that's what you have to do. But it's still a great feeling to be there and to understand it. And people don't necessarily understand that being an animator is not the only job out
there. That's right.
You know, and there's so many people that go into the field and it's like, I want to be an animator. And they're like,
I remember
matte painting is really cool.
there was a friend of mine, you know, living in this town, everybody wants to be in the business, right?
Sure.
And so there was a friend of mine, and we were talking about the fact that she was incredibly frustrated because she was an actress, and the same kind of thing. She was born to act. That's her life. That's what she's all about. That's what she wants to do. It's all about acting, and I can't act, and I'm not given the opportunity, blah, blah, blah. And this went on and on and on. And, you know, finally, after like 2 months of listening to this, I turned to her and I said, you know, I don't think you really love acting. And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, from what I hear you saying, it's that you love celebrity. You want to be a star. You don't want to be an actress. You want to be a star, and that you haven't been given the opportunity to be a star. But if you want to act, there's community theater. Go and play Macbeth or Hamlet. You could do that. You could do Shakespeare like in a week. There's 500 community theaters around Los Angeles. So it's not the acting part.
Yeah.
It's the celebrity part and the image of being incredibly successful in your field.
Right.
So don't BS me with this. You really are born to act. If you're born to act, I have a solution for you. Go and act.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't think this girl certainly wasn't in that position. She was really about passionate about the idea of animation. And I love animation. I love animation. I can't animate for shit. You know, I can't. That's not what I do.
Like me.
Right. Okay. I can.
But you move by it.
I move by it, and you give me really good animation, and I will light it and composite it beautifully.
<laughs> You know? There you go.
And that's what I'll do. And I know what it is needs to be, you know. And I'll have this discussion with Steve Prieg or those guys, you know. I was like, hey, you know, and he knows, and he'll look at something and he'll tell me why the animation is not right or this and that. I'll just like, I don't know, Steve, you tell me, you know. Right. But I'll get it. And that's what you do. Especially, that's the nice thing about VFX is also, you get to work next to people who are very closely related, but you may not at all have that skill set,
right.
You know, being a compositor or a matte painter or a motion modeler, whatever. Right. Yeah. All those people do different things and are all good at it. And yet we're still inspired by each other. And right. I think that's a really nice thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And effects, I'm flabbergasted by effects artists, mm-hmm. you know, and I look at them and they're like, wow, your lighting's really good. And it's like, my lighting is easy. What you're doing is complicated. You know, I just have – I'm always like humbled by whatever else anyone else is doing. So I think it's a really cool thing to sort of realize like there's not just one path mm-hmm. to animation. There are lots and lots of different paths that you can do.
It is one of the best learns that they learn at Trojanhorst, and the young kids.
Yeah.
They don't know the industry. They don't know the kind of job. They don't know where to start. And there they have these insights and this new opportunities. That's a good
to be
stuff.
Able to vision what the model looks like, to understand sort of, because most of us are learned by images,
yeah,
right? So to understand overall what a model feels like of, let's say, working in a visual effects studio or working on an animation pipeline,
yeah.
And if you're a student and you haven't been taught, it's not been taught, you've not been involved in it, it's like, I don't know where to go. It's sort of like being left alone in a city with no map and you can't ask anyone where to go.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
And that's another thing that's great about Trojanhorst is giving those newbies the opportunity to understand what it's like.
I remember Alessandro. Remember Alessandro gave his talk about character stuff and blur and what it takes to do that. And he says, and basically the gist of it was like, only 10% of it is actually modeling and doing something creative in the sense. And I get to do that, but I got to do a lot of checking. I got to make sure everything works for the rig. I got to make sure I move this and go back and forth and do this. And
they don't understand.
And now they're like, oh, it's like, this is what it takes to make a character on the screen. And
right.
It's like, I can make a character real quick. It's just, it goes through a lot of process and you go back and forth a lot. That's where it gets refined, you know? So it was really interesting to I'm sure everyone was going, oh,
it's not just light bulbs going off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you have even the seniors at Trojanhorst, they are always learning. You see all the speakers seeing at the other's speech and the other talks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's the
absolutely. That's the cool. And I think that's also the, you know, it's the nature of what we do, right? The nature of what we do is something that no one's ever seen before. So we're going to have to learn for how someone else does it, because then it's going to make you learn something else different, you know? So we always have to do new things. And it's just great stuff, you know, when you're like, oh, that guy's job was great. I want to see more about that, you know?
Yeah,
I think that's what's great about working in a full-scale, full-service facility.
Right.
Which is the ability, as long as management and the seniors persevere on information sharing as opposed to information cloistering.
Right.
Which I've worked at a couple of places that was all about, I have the information, you can't have the information.
Yep.
But if you, as long as you share the information, A, the work gets better, people get inspired more, and it's more fulfilling, and you know, it's nice to be around a group of people that are at the top of their game in different fields.
Yeah. Well, we should continue. I want to tell you about my WikiHuman project, because that's exactly about that.
Great.
So.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Want to talk more about music?
Well, music's the missing link.
Music is your thing. So what are you going to do with music at Trojanhorst?
Well, of course, in Andre's way, right? So we're sitting, we're talking about music.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, we have to have some great music. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. And he went, well, I think you should get – well, actually, you're going to get Daft Punk.
No.
So wait a second. Wait 1 second here. No, Daft Punk is coming.
You told me. You know someone from Daft Punk. Okay,
let's start
talking with Daft Punk. The second one, well, yeah, this is fun to have this conversation. The second after Daft Punk, who was it? I contact Nitin Sony. Actually, Nitin Sony, he can't come but because of agenda, but he wanted to play at Trojan Horse.
I still want to hear the track of you playing cowbell on a Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, that's see? On the record. Yeah, no problem.
You will have Scott this year.
I'm good on the cowbell, man.
And more music will
be. We have to solve the music.
Music will be great. Man.
Yeah. We will have music this year. The last link. And we didn't, we are working on
the
that.
Thing about him is, which is so great, is he sets his sights at like, I'll turn it up to 11. Can we just do a 7? No, 11. It's got to be 11.
Yeah.
You know how crazy he drove me about Miyazaki? I can't tell you. It was like, no, we have to have Miyazaki there. Right. I'm telling you, Andre, Miyazaki doesn't travel. He doesn't go anywhere. Right. He's going to the Academy Awards. We have to have
him. And I only accepted that he can't come when we receive an email.
From him and saying he won't come.
From him saying, I will not come. But that's it. Until he sent the email.
He was like, let's go to Japan. We talk to him.
Yeah. And until he sent, we need to have
him. All right.
That's
well, let's show him how much you're gonna miss him.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
He's gonna go, you know what, I should have gone to that event. Did you hear about that?
That's right. Yeah, the sushi's really gonna be good this year.
Well, the tribe will manage that.
Yeah.
So we can have this message from the tribe. Let's see.
Yeah. Well, it's really great. I mean, I think we were looking at it last year and we're like, oh, let's just check it out. And by the, even within the first day we already knew something.
Believers, you guys were believers.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, we were already talking about all kinds of crazy stuff.
That's something that
I'm Carolyn really... Giardina, from the Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah.
I saw her at the VES Awards and she pulled me aside and she said, can I come next year?
I said, really?
She said, yeah, because it was the best experience I've ever had. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. She was so cool. She was so cool. Yeah. She was hanging out with us and was like, hey, can I come to lunch with you guys? Yeah. And it was like, cool. Yeah, of course you can.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was cool. I mean, it was funny because, I was sitting around talking to her and we're talking about different things we're doing. It's like, oh, and I said, let me tell you about my WikiHuman project. And she's like, what is this? And so suddenly like, oh, let me take some notes. And it's like, wait, it's in the Hollywood Reporter. And so
you gotta be careful of that.
I gotta be careful. Yeah. Yeah. And then suddenly it's like, I got a call from DD. He's like, hey, what's this thing? The Digital Human League. And it's like, oh, I should probably tell you about that. Huh? So yeah, I had to talk to them and they're really cool about it. But yeah, it was funny. So yeah, she was, she's really cool. And I really appreciate the fact that, I got to talk to her and understand that. And it, again, it's another thing. It's relationships you didn't know you're going to make from that. Right.
Right.
So
true relationships.
True ones. Yeah, absolutely. Ones. Yeah. Because you're not just meeting someone at a party. You're meeting someone at a party
that lasts for 5 days.
That lasts for 5 days. Right. And so you're constantly like, all right, where are you going now? And so
that's a magic 5 days together. You create.
Yeah.
You either hate each other or you love.
Yeah. Louis and I, well, of course it's Louis, but Louis and I were like practically hugging the whole time at the end, I was like hanging out like, dude, where's she going now?
Louis. It's Louis.
Yeah,
Louis the best.
He was.
I didn't get Louis until I went to his seminar, and then I turned to my wife and I said, "He's Lenny Bruce.
He is Lenny Bruce.
He's Lenny Bruce. That's who he is.
That's you're right.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He's a constant comedian and doing crazy stuff.
That's why I choose him to be the host of DHU Television.
Perfect choice.
Perfect choice.
Yeah. People will have fun at home.
So it's gonna be is it gonna be more like a Tonight Show interview type of thing?
Yeah.
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 Awesome.
We wanted to create something special for people at home. So
awesome.
We have Louis Tucci and Scott Ross.
All Louis Tucci has to do is just show up, it's a party.
People will have fun. You will have fun. I will have fun. Everyone have fun with Louis around. So it's.
I could make a really great Egg McMahon just sit in the background laughing.
It's Trojan Horse, so can do it. It can do it. But it will be fun. I'm anxious to see everything's go set.
How many attendees this year?
500. It's the maximum capacity.
And what's the dates again?
It's
September 15th through the
19th. And, okay. We are asking people to go 2 days before so we can have time to to hang out everyone before the main event, because this year will be really
tough. And we're hoping for good weather.
And I'm praying since yeah. last year for
last good year weather. Was a little rainy, but it was
terrible,
still nice.
Terrible weather. I canceled all the parties. So terrible.
Because we're gonna have a party on the beach.
Right. Right. But we still had a party on the beach.
Well, that was different.
Well, I don't think people knew about that.
It was a nonsense party. And,
no, but it just out of nowhere.
Start with Louis.
It started with Louis, yeah. Louis said, grab as much
room as you did not sponsor that party.
Louis bought a lot of wine.
Yeah.
Thought, let's go to the party.
Yeah.
And that 300 people went to the party. And
went to the beach at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Naked, lingerie. Yeah. It was crazy. I was there. I saw
pictures though.
I saw strange things there. It was strange, but like THU party, it wasn't amazing. Yeah,
impromptu party at 3 a.m.
Yeah, speakers lost flights because of that. Attendees lost flights because of that.
Right,
was a terrible night for everyone.
I know. I saw a picture of Andrew Higginbottom.
No. Crazy, crazy. I mean, Andrew and Olga. Olga. Crazy night.
Yep.
Yeah, but the weather was something important. First year was the most...
Especially what we're going to do this coming year.
Yeah, this year the weather needs to be perfect. We have a lot of surprises outdoor.
On the beach.
Okay.
On the beach.
That's awesome.
So we need... If not, well, we will do this time at the same... We will do this time with good weather or bad weather. I don't even care. Let's go.
Let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen.
What's the name of the beer that's in Portugal? Because that's one thing I noticed. It was like pretty much the same beer everywhere, which is very good beer. What was the name of the beer over there?
Superbok.
Superbok, that's right.
Yeah. Beer is something important for the Portuguese. And
But it's the same beer.
I'm not sure.
Because where we were, it was always Superbok. It's like, oh, good, I'll just have the Superbok.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Superbok, they don't want to sponsor us anymore. So I don't know if you have... I like Superbok. I like Superbok. But let's see. We are trying to manage that particular issues. The beer is important. And,
yes.
So
because that moment, and you know, you had a little happy hour every day, right?
Every day,
as of between like 4 and 4:30 or something like that, or whatever. Yeah. And everyone would gather, and you'd meet up with different people, and you'd have it. Was
it's like, an important part of Trojan Art?
Yeah,
the free beer and the free food. Yeah,
yeah. It's so important. You got there and you hang out and you have a little chat and you know whatever you know, and it's just you gathering around after lunch or whatever to just go to the next talk, and it was an important part of it. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And we will continue to have it. The first year was better because the weather was really cool. So we stay outside and we get in the plaza. So it was really, really more magical and more fun. This year was fun, but not...
A little too rainy.
I hope that the weather will help us next year.
One thing that stands out for me, I remember when I spoke, I said there are people here between the ages of, I think I said like 16 and 82, you know. And this kid pulls me aside afterwards and he... comes over to me. He says, "I think you had the ages wrong." I said, "Really?" He says, "Yes, I'm 14 years old." There's a 14-year-old person there. I said, "What do you do?" He said, "I'm a coder. I write code."
Right.
Yeah, we had problem with the kid.
No, did you? Because he was great.
Because his father bought the ticket.
Uh huh.
And we didn't know that he was 14, so we were.
So he's out there drinking beer.
He went to the casino and. Can't go to the casino, so we take him out of the casino because it's illegal. So
right.
We had some illegal issues that we need.
Because you had a 14-year-old
person. We didn't know.
Yeah,
he didn't look 14.
He didn't look 14. And
I know exactly who he was. Yeah.
First year we had a guy with 16, and we know it, and it was sad because he's not allowed to go to the casino. So I stay one night with him outside, and I bring some speakers to talk with him. Was really, really cool. Bernard Cristóvão was really, really cool for him because I remember Serge Biro, José and Mark. And Mark stay outside the casino just to hang out with him because he was there alone.
Right.
But this year with the 14-year-old guy, was crazy.
Yeah.
It was really crazy. But he have free alcohol, he can drink.
Yeah.
We can't stop people to drink. It's impossible.
Here you can.
Yeah. We are in Portugal.
But not in Portugal. Not in Portugal. Portugal is like, you sure? All right, here you go.
Let's go.
Yeah. Well, that was a really great, and I can't wait for this year. It'll be very exciting. So, it's gonna be really exciting to see that.
We hope so.
And so we'll look for more announcements. We got 33 more people to announce that you're gonna be talking. So 50 speakers, 5 days.
50 speakers, 5 days. from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the morning.
8 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock. So you basically have 3 hours to sleep.
Sleep, yeah.
Well, we people that will start the workshops, we are dividing this because we don't have enough space for the workshops, again, like last year. So we divide the schedule, and we know that a lot of people stay awake all night. So we people that will go to the last...
I should clarify, when he says 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, he doesn't mean 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He means 5 o'clock in the morning.
In the morning.
So, so there's only 3 hours where nothing's happening during a 24-hour period.
We'll have from midnight to 2 o'clock, the art battles. This year, the art battles will be special and will be covered live with Louis Tucci as a host.
As a moderator.
We have prizes. Will be
The art battles were kind of interesting. What basically they were was they happened in the casino last year.
An amazing room in the casino.
Yeah, so you're sitting around in a casino, having drinks and being entertained by people. And you'd see people doing their art battles where they would be having these challenges and they would be on their Wacom tablets and they're just doing all these drawings.
And this year we are working to bring the art battles to another level. So I think will be a lot of fun. And from 2 to 3, we will have a new experience to the artists.
Okay.
And that artist will not go to the workshops. They will stay at least sleeping for more 3 or 4 hours. But Trojan Horse will only stop 3 hours a day. It will be insane.
Wow. So it really is going to be like Burning Man. Even more so this year.
Again, you have only 5 days. So enjoy the 5 days. You have time to sleep when you arrive home.
Yeah.
So,
as Jim Cameron used to say, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Yeah, you sleep when you're dead. You are there just to experience. You have a lot of time to sleep. So there you need to enjoy.
And you said it's already sold out?
Almost sold out. We have a few tickets.
All right.
It's crazy. But we sold out the early ticket. We sold out the special tickets in 30 minutes. We had almost 700 people waiting for the... I'm talking 1 of November. This happened 1 of November, 10 months before the event. So we sold out the special tickets in 30 minutes and the early tickets in 9 hours. It was crazy that day.
Wow.
And we are now almost sold out. We have 70 tickets, I think, only.
Hmm.
But I think we didn't sell, 70 tickets.
Wow. Hey guys, like I mentioned at the intro, we have a bonus section in this podcast where we talk about your chance to attend the event and to win a golden ticket. We forgot to talk about it during the podcast, of course, because we got too wrapped up in how much we love it, that Gina reminded us. And so we got Gina and Andre to actually sit down and tell us what the golden ticket is and what the chances are, what you have to do to enter to win the golden ticket. So listen up and we'll put some links up on the podcast as well. Thanks, guys.
See, what generally happens is that Chris just taunts me and just throws my name into every podcast. I've never actually been on a podcast.
So you are, it's the first time?
Yes.
So let's, this is going to be a bonus section.
Bonus round?
We'll figure it out. Let's talk about the golden ticket. Tell me about the golden ticket.
Golden ticket, starts in the first year was a marketing strategy for us to be more involved with the attendees and the community, but now it's like part of the DNA again of Trojan Horse, and it's the you only give 2 tickets a year, and the Trojan this year this will be the last ticket available for the winner of the golden ticket.
So have you given 1 ticket already?
We gave for the challenge for. That was supported by Rodrigo Pralier and Serge Bijou. And we gave 1 ticket for them for their challenge. And an Australian girl just won that challenge. And the golden, but this is the ticket, the golden ticket, the normal ticket. Our golden ticket, we give the ticket, the 5-star hotel, the transportation, the flight. We really support everything.
So what are we sponsoring this year, Gina?
Golden ticket.
The golden ticket.
The golden ticket.
Yeah, the first ticket. 2 years we didn't add any sponsors. We sponsor ourselves the golden ticket. This year,
So this year, this Chaos Group is sponsoring one of the
Chaos
tickets.
Group. Yeah, is a Chaos. It's a Chaos Group. Is one of the best, the biggest sponsor of Trojan Horse this year.
Right.
More than sponsors, partners. It's pretty cool to have, because it's hard to have sponsors at Trojan Horse because you don't have logos at the event.
Right.
So when you start talking with the brands, what they want is boots and logos everywhere.
Right.
So they always say no, because we say no for that kind of situation. So it was pretty wild when we start talking with you guys, and you guys, you went to support the artist, not the you don't want to have logos.
Well, I think that was the point when we went, you know, right? I mean, we saw immediately that it's like, oh, this isn't about booths and about peddling your product.
It's not common, I can tell you.
Well,
even last week, I had a conversation with the big brand of our industry, and they want boots. They want to say, no, I can do t-shirts for everyone, and say, it's not Trojan Horse way. So what I will win in that situation? And I don't have this conversation with you guys. So, and me and Gina, we talk almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
And now when we are talking about sponsorship, we don't talk about give me the money. Say, okay, we need help to create this experience. Do you want to help us to create the experience and say, hey, let's go, or how much it costs? Okay, well, we can do it.
Right.
And the Golden Ticket was one of the first experiences. It's really an experience for the first year Dor Shamir win.
Right.
Won. And I have a great story about him, because when he somehow we I didn't went to the airport to pick up him, so I met him at the ferry. And someone told me, there is the Golden Ticket winner, go there. And I went to the guy and say, hello, you are Dor Shamir. And the guy just, who the fuck are you? sorry, I'm one of the organizers. Sorry, I didn't know. Because he was really tired and upset about a bunch of situations that happened.
Right.
So, but he became a good friend. Last year was Max Kostenko.
And uh-huh.
This year, I'm quite sure the winner will be amazing.
Well, so when is the deadline for submitting? So basically, what do you have to do to get a golden ticket?
This year, the team is the tribe.
Okay.
We have a story about the golden ticket. The first year was the friend Orto,
mm-hmm.
because we wanted, like, all Trojan Horse brand, you create an environment, the Knights, the Warriors.
Sure.
And for the golden ticket, we use the golden ticket to create more
awareness.
Yep. And we created Friend and Toe for the first year. The second year was the come on, my brain.
I know my brain is fried too.
My brain is fried. Okay.
We'll come back to that.
And this year's the tribe. And so it's a competition of some kind, and you would have to do. And what's the deadline for the competition?
May is hosted by the CG Society. It's
okay,
pretty cool. And
so we'll put a link to that on the podcast as well.
It's an honor to us to have CG Society involved with our golden ticket, and it's really, really cool. Now that it's become a big thing in industry, like the Trojan Horse golden ticket, it's now a big contest, and more than the golden ticket, that Chaos Group is now helping us to support the experience. We have other brands that are bringing more software and goodies for the winner. So the big winner will have a big, big, big prize mm-hmm. at the end. It's really good for everyone, I think.
Well,
and I'm honored.
We're about sponsoring artists, right? Because in the end, that's who our customers are. They're all artists. And if that's the event we want to go to, and for that reason is because we want to make sure that people see us as, hey, if you're an artist and you want help, we can be there to help you do what you want to do.
Yeah, I just saw a post from attendee from Trojan Horse that you guys supported. And he was like saying, thank you, Chris.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to make it very personal, right?
Yeah.
And they so, don't like, care people about know, the know, they know individuals in their company, right?
Because
so.
Artists, they have names.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And the most, like, so in Trojan Horse, we call everyone by the name. Mm-hmm. I know the names of everyone, to be honest. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cool, guys. Thanks. And we'll make sure to put the link up there. And on this time, I'm trying to figure out how I'm actually going to edit this together now. But that's fine. It'll be good. So we'll let the last bucket drop again. And again, Gina did the Foley on the last bucket for us, right?
I did.
Yeah.
A few times we dropped that bucket.
So we actually have a bucket, and we dropped it. And I had a microphone and recorded it. So that's going to be our sound.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're goofy, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of crazy things go on in this office. We have fun.
Really? All right. Well, cool, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.